Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Saturday morning, July the 16th, 2011. I'm up at, well, Mount Madonna. It's going to be a big one tomorrow. And right now we're at the Carl Cherry Center here in Carmel, and I'll be offering some discourse, a little chat with my students. If you are ever in the area and would like to join us at the Carl Cherry Center, I'd love to have you. I really would. It's located at 4th and Guadalupe here in Carmel. And it's really a very charming and beautiful place to come. During the week, they have art exhibits and plays during the week. And I can't tell you just how charming it is. It's located at 4th and Guadalupe here in Carmel. So come and take a look at it during the week if you can't be with us. We're there every Saturday morning in the theater room at 9:30. And you're invited to be with us. The donation is on a free will love offering basis. And I hope you'll come sometime and be with us. Okay, let's get to the first question. Do you believe in anything? I listen to you on the radio, and I find it hard to follow you as you don't believe in anything I'm familiar with. Frank from, where does he say he's from? Just from Northern California. Frank, forgive me. I'm not a believer. I have found that in my effort to try to believe in anything, I don't do very well. Because everything so changes. The one thing I do believe in is that everything is impermanent. Nothing stays the same for very long. So the ebb and flow of my life, everything, kind of revolves around the one thing that I do know. To me, a belief is something you usher into a person's life to torment them, in my opinion. You make people believe in things if you're a minister or you're a politician, and you torture people by telling them that you believe in what they want. That's the golden arch here. All I have to do is say to you, I believe in what you want, and you will follow me forever. And that's just not the way I work on the inside. What I am trying to offer to you here is unbelievable. It's about inconscionable generosity. It is about the inexplicable. Those two things. Inconscionable generosity. To be so generous, so kind, so giving, so loving. To be so available to life as love that things start to happen within you that are immensely important. And the inexplicable. Nothing can be explained. Everything comes and goes and happens and doesn't happen according to the measure of itself in our life. And the thing that to me is most important is not whether or not I believe in it. Because when I believe in anything, I cut off belief for everything. The moment I say yes to that, I'm saying no to that. You know what I mean, Frank? The moment I believe in a theory, concept, something that is taught, I lose my sense of inner balance. Now I am for and against things. Now what I've said yes to over here, I'm saying no to over there. And it just doesn't work well for me. So my effort, Frank, is to be open. To be so open that I am able to bring in to my life everything, to open the door to everything without looking at it and saying, well, I believe that this should be this way, and I believe that that should be that way, and the two can never meet, or whatever fallacy I have. Life is too beautiful for me to be so close-minded. And my mind, as Gregory, is so closed. I mean, it is so minute. It is so small. It is so minuscule. I don't want to keep tethering myself to that, Frank. So what I try to do is offer the alternative to conventional belief and thinking. And I tried to show you how to get beyond thoughts as objects and things and kind of go into the mystery of this life, because life is a very powerful mystery. That mystery has a lot to do with the meaning and significance of life itself. And when I am not holding to any ideas or ideals, when I'm not believing in this over that, then I start opening myself up to living. And living is about me, well, experiencing everything without handlebars, without the need for there to be this doing that and that doing this and here going there, instead of all of these very complicated ideas, I try to stay simple. I find for me that belief just makes me complicated, because how do I believe in something that can't contain my beliefs? How can I experience something that is beyond my believing? What if there is something beyond it all, which there is? Why go into believing? If science were a matter of belief, I don't think we would have the light bulb. We have to have an open mind, so open and so receptive that we don't come to conclusions as quickly as you and I tend to like to come to conclusions. I think that is one of the biggest difficulties I have to face in my own unfoldment, is not to come to any conclusion about myself, other people, or life in general. Just to be able to let life live me, to let the love live me, rather than me trying to make things the way I believe they ought to be for the sake of my own desire, ambition, pride, vanity, all that stuff. So don't go there. Don't go to the things that make your life difficult. Go to the things that make your life beautiful, that make your life distinctive, that bring you to a sense of inner freedom inside. The freedom to be able to move your life into a place where a sense of liberation looks like emptiness, nothingness. The more empty I am of all the things I want to believe in that I think comfort my ego, my pride, my vanity, my Greg Pennisms, the more I am able to drop all that and only don't know, the deeper and more profound will be my experience of life. And that, my dear Frank, is what it's really all about, to have that direct experience of life as love. We live in a complicated society, a culture that is very sick. And for me to consider myself, shall we say, I believe myself to be well-adjusted in a very sick society doesn't speak very highly of me. So I tend to want to look beyond the culture and the society and begin to see things for maybe as they are, the way they are, within the way they are. And not to make it something that I can believe in, that I can think of as good and bad, right and wrong. So I hope that helps you in some way. Don't listen to what I am saying and take me verbatim. Listen to what I'm not saying. Listen and follow the pause, the gap, the spaces between my breaths and between my words. It is there you will deeply understand what I'm talking about. And it is there that you will be liberated too. So much beauty is trying to happen to us. So much joy. So much insight. Everything is so amazing in this life. Why hone it down to beliefs that, well, basically are preferences that I might have that have nothing to do with the meaning of my life at all? Why go there? Why not just go to love and let love, as life, live me? Please forgive me, Frank, and I hope that in some way I've been able to help you understand what I'm trying to do that most people work very hard at ignoring. Namaste. Believing. It's a difficult thing. People need thoughts to believe in. They need ideas to believe in. Otherwise, why get up in the morning? Why do anything? That's what I hear all the time from people. Well, there's more to life than all of that. And if I'm just living my life as a matter of circumstance to gain the conditions that I think will make me happy, I've lost my life anyway. So the way we reduce life down to a business, the way we reduce it down to like and dislike and want and all that other stuff, this is the greatest, mistake I make in the course of my own life. And when I do that, I remove myself from all the possibilities, no matter what. And believing for me has always been one of those. So I don't use the word belief like most people do. Next one comes from Sal in, where is Sal? Salinas, I like that. He says, what is my life supposed to look like when I'm so afraid to live? I'm afraid I'm always wrong. Sal. I love you, Sal. I don't know who you are. I just loved your question. I admire you. And I deeply respect your question and where it's coming from within yourself. Let's take it. What is my life supposed to look like when I'm so afraid to live? Yeah, anything you do here in this life affects someone else or something else, and eventually there are consequences for everything, and it comes back to me. I know what you're saying, and you could get very freaked out and afraid about all of that. I don't want to hurt anybody. Believe me, I don't. And I'm always very cautious about the idea of the things I think I believe in and the things that I think are right and wrong, good and bad, in the human sense, like I was just saying to Frank. And that's why I've dropped this idea of belief. But you're bringing up something even more. You say, I'm afraid I'm wrong. Frank, now listen, or Sal, listen to me. Try to understand this. In a weird way, we're all wrong, all the time. Even the things I'm teaching to you here, I will probably not be teaching in another 5 or 10 years, because there'll be something else I've discovered, and I will go on from there. I don't sit on my laurels and just keep teaching the same stuff over and over and over again. I keep trying to expand everything I can and bring it to a deeper and deeper level. So my life, you say what it is supposed to be. There is no supposed to be in this life. None at all. There is no, I'm supposed to look like this, or I'm supposed to have that, or I'm supposed to be this way, I'm supposed to be that way. There isn't. So give that up immediately. I don't know where you got that, and that isn't going to serve you well at all. Not in your life, not in your living, not in your heart. Follow your heart. Now, not your emotions. And here's the key. Most people hear me say that, and they think they know what I mean, and they think I mean emotion. I'm not talking about emotion. I am talking about following your heart, your inner being, the very state of your essence inside. Follow that. Find your heart and then let it live you. And you just keep following it and following it and following it. Will you make mistakes along the way? Yes. Will I make mistakes along the way? Yes. What to do with our mistakes? Well, if you want to take them personally and you want to beat yourself up for it, be my guest. It isn't going to do you any good. And that's not what life is all about. It isn't about making mistakes and then punishing yourself and then being a bad person. You're not. Because you make a mistake doesn't make you bad. What makes you interesting is how you forgive yourself, how you get up, dust yourself off, and move along in your life in love, in kindness, in truth. All of this has to do with beauty in life. Sal, Let beauty be the guide. Don't worry about being right or wrong. Be focused on whether or not you can allow beauty to come through you. Now, if you can do that, you have achieved a great deal in the course of this lifetime. You have made living beautiful. You have made your life beautiful. And that's what it's all about. Don't be concerned about the minute mistakes you make, and don't camouflage your life with a bunch of do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs and thinking about what your life is supposed to be looking like. Don't worry about that. Focus on love. Focus on living intelligently by letting beauty come through you. Let this beauty that is you have its way with you. And if you can do that without worrying about what other people think of you, you've achieved a great deal. Now, fear of doing wrong. I found out something in my own life, that if I am concerned about doing wrong, I'll do wrong. I mean, I won't even know it. Most of the things that I've done that have been highly stupid, insensitive, unkind, have been things I have done unwittingly through my ego. Didn't even know I was doing it. When I caught it, I didn't punish myself. I corrected the mistake and I moved on through love. When you say you're afraid of being wrong, don't worry about that. Be more focused on what is beautiful about you than what is wrong about you. Follow that rather than trying to be correct or precise or right or better than and all of that, and you will find something opening up in you. Something will start to bloom in you. And then you will have something highly sophisticated, highly interesting. You will have something that is deeply respectful in your being. And you will find that other people will gravitate towards that, and they will also love it too. They will love you the way you are. They will care about you. They will move towards you. Those who have the love, those who have interest in love, will understand the way and what you're really trying to achieve from within yourself. This is very meaningful. And this is what your life is intended to be. Love. So don't be afraid, Sal. Everyone does what they do, thinking they know what they're doing, and believing they can't make a mistake or aren't making mistakes. But we all do. I make them, you make them, every human being does. But as long as you understand the nature of beauty within you and return to it over and over and over again, this means you're going to have to practice some meditation. It means you're going to have to practice some insight. But the more you practice over and over and over and over again, the more beautiful your life will be, and the less you will be concerned about what is right and wrong, what is good and bad, and you can enter into yourself. Your authentic self. Your authentic being, I should really say. And that will be most beautiful and most necessary in this world. You can do a great deal of good in this lifetime if you find the love that is your life. Sal, thank you for listening to Aspire. I deeply appreciate your comments. And please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Bob. And he lives in Encinitas, and he watches me down in San Diego. And Bob, I want to thank you for your comments about the sound of one hand clapping. I'm very, very grateful for your kindness. He says, you speak of hope as a bad thing. Why? I'm confused, Bob. Bob, be not confused. Hope is like belief. And if I have a lot of belief, I'm going to have a lot of hope. And if I have a lot of hope, I'm not going to be living in the reality of any given situation. You may not like the way the world has turned out. Neither do I. You may not like the way things are moving around in the world with such hate and unkindness and hard-heartedness. But to believe that it's going to get better someday just because you want to believe it's going to get better someday is not the way. The way is for you and I, as Gandhi said, to be the difference in the world we want to see. I like what Gandhi said. It is true. Rather than sitting around in my useless philosophies about life and just saying, I believe in them, and I have great hope that things are going to get better, I have to begin to live beyond my mind's desire. You know, it's interesting about hope. You can hope and hope and hope and wish and want for all the good things in life to happen, and then in the bottom line, it all falls apart, and nothing happens the way I, well, hoped it would. Because I didn't engage myself in love. I didn't engage myself in kindness. I didn't engage in compassion within myself. I didn't engage. Hope gives me that luxury of not doing anything with myself and just wanting the best intent without any work on my part to create the opportunity for that to happen. I live a pathetic kind of life when I live that way, and most people do. They are afraid to do anything significant, so it's just easier to hope that things will work out and they will be significant, and that's not true. It just won't work like that. Here's how I have found it. Be what you want to be in the changes you see in the world that need to happen. Be kind when other people think that you have every right to be unkind. Be generous when you have every right not to be generous, as it were. Be forgiving when you are faced with the unforgivable, both in yourself and in another person or a situation. This is how you make life beautiful. And this is how you live beyond hope. You don't wait for someone else to make the changes and make things better and hope that there will be better times, as though there's ticks on the clock that determine how well things are going to work out. It doesn't work like that, even remotely it doesn't. Live in love. Live in kindness. Be the change you wish to see in the world, as Gandhi said. And now you've lived beyond the idea of hope. It isn't that hope is bad. It just doesn't change anything, and that's what I was trying to get over to you in the sound of one hand clapping. You have to take a more loving and active step forward, and that's really what it's all about. So, my dear man, Bob, listen to me. I never speak as anything bad. It's just contrary to the way life works. And once you understand the nature of life as inexplicable, how you cannot really understand it with the mind, that's when you and I truly understand it, and we move forward in life through love. That's what it's all about. If you take it personally, you're going to miss the whole thing. So just understand in your heart. Want nothing with all of your heart, and let love and life live you, and enjoy your series, The Sound of One Hand Clapping. I think once you listen to those CDs that you ordered, you'll find it very, very powerful and much easier to live your life according to the manner of your heart than the hope of your head. And please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be able to be of service to you with, I hope you will come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And if you go there, you can go to contact if you want and email me from there, or go to events and there, or excuse me, media, pull down the menu. And you'll see radio program. And you can listen to old radio programs I've done, even future ones I will be airing. and even email me from there if you want. So feel free to do so. I'd be honored for you to come and ask any question that I might be able to help you with. And if you don't want me to use your name, no problemo. Just tell me not to use your name and I won't. My series, The Sound of One Hand Clapping. Well, it's very different from any series I've ever done. For those of you down in San Diego who are watching, you can tell the difference. It's a pretty intense series based on the book Zen Flesh, Zen Bones by Paul Reps. A very, very beautiful book and very brave book. I think it's one of the most valuable books on my shelf. And I have taken 8 of the Zen stories that are a compilation of his incredible work and diligence and dedication to spiritual awakening. And these stories are true. They're stories that have been carried through the lore of Zen meditation and inner work. And I think you will find them deeply significant. The 7 that I have chosen, if you want to know a little bit more about these programs, come to the website at aspire.org. Go look at Now Showing on Aspire. You can listen to little snippets of my new CDs. You can order them safely and securely there if you like. If not, you can call me at 831-622-8410. That's 831-622-8410. You can order them. I'll send them out to you promptly. They're available for a donation of $40, parts of which are tax deductible. We'll send you a receipt for your income taxes and all that other good stuff so you can really enjoy these CDs. Listen to them very carefully. They're very special. I will be back on the air via, of course, tape. Tomorrow morning at 9:04. Hope you'll join me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.